Case number 12966, Randall Garcia seeks variances from the rear yard setback requirement for being adjacent to a residential zone property for proposed structures. Sections 115-82 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located north of Lewis Georgetown Highway. The 911 address is 24163 Lewis Georgetown Highway in Georgetown. The zoning district is C1. The tax parcel is District 135, Map 16, Parcel 73.01. The applicant is seeking a 25-foot variance from the 30-foot rear yard setback requirement for C1 zoning adjacent to residential zoned property. We have zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and zero mail return.
Good evening.
Good evening. For the record, my name is David Hutt, an attorney with the law firm of Morris James. I'm representing the applicant. And if I could at this time, Mr. Sharp, if I could swear in the applicant, I suppose we should re-swear in Mr. Christenberry, because you are, if you're fine.
We just acknowledge that Mr. Ken Christenberry has been previously sworn in this evening, so he doesn't need to be re-sworn in, but we can swear the applicant in. Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
My name is Randall Garcia. Do you need my address?
Your address, please.
Okay, 48 Goosebriar Lane, Milford, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I swear.
Thank you.
As I indicated a moment ago, board members, this evening I am representing Mr. Garcia, who was just sworn in, who is the applicant and owner of the property that is the subject of tonight's variance application. The property is situated along the Route 9 corridor between here and Gravel Hill Road. And just to help identify the board and the benefit of anyone in the public who's taking an interest in this application, I'm going to start at Gravel Hill Road and work my way west towards Georgetown. Of course, if you start at the intersection of Gravel Hill Road and Route 9 and travel towards Georgetown, on the left-hand side will be the Delbot Maintenance Yard that I'm sure everybody is familiar with. On the right-hand side, there's of course a pond with a mermaid in it that's sort of famous or infamous on Route 9. And throughout much of 2024, she's been in water. So that's probably a good sign for the county. Just past the pond is of course Beshe Furniture. As you continue traveling west on Route 9, just past there is, of course, the new apartments West and Willows. When you get past the apartments, there's a series of single-story pole buildings that are used by their flex space warehousing, used by contractors and the like. I think the first one you come to is called Providence Park. After that, there's one that has Sequoia in front of it. Continuing a little further west on Route 9, there's a road that leads off to the right called Asphalt Alley, and I say road, it's actually just a drive aisle to get back to a business. And of course, that business is Peninsula Paving. That business, as applies, is a asphalt construction company. I'll go into a little bit more detail about that business, in a moment, but I did want to continue along Route 9, because after the Asphalt Alley roadway, and the Peninsula Paving business, the next thing you come to is an automotive motorcycle store. There's a big Arctic Cat sign out in front of it. I believe it's V&S Service and Cycle Center is another name that it's known by. And many people will also recognize this site, because if you've ever driven past that site after any type of rainfall, you'll know that there's water that sits in their parking lot, and oftentimes it looks like cars or tires and such are within that water. Just past that property is Mr. Garcia's property that we're here on tonight. So just immediately west of that property. Mr. Garcia is the owner and operator of Delray Foundations, Inc. And their name does imply what they do as well. They install foundations. Mr. Garcia is attempting to develop this property to be able to operate his business out of this location. And the physical limitations of the property that I'll describe in a moment necessitated the filing of this variance request here this evening. I want to go a little bit further down Route 9 just to sort of finish a little bit more of that roadway. Just past Mr. Garcia's property There's a series of properties, including the Route 9 Industrial Center. Again, more contractor flex space warehousing. I think there might even be a dance academy that uses one of the units that's in that building. Just past the route, or series of buildings, just past the Route 9 Industrial Center is where AP Kroll operates out of. Just past AP Kroll is FH for Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, which for all of you who've been in Sussex County for a long time, was formerly McGee Plumbing and Heating. And of course, that's all the businesses that exist until you come to Shingle Point Road. As you continue on Route 9, of course, the next, there'd be a light, and that's at Park Avenue. And of course, Downs Automotive is on the left-hand side at that intersection. As Mr. Garcia attempted to develop his property for his business, he engaged Mr. Christenberry with Axiom Engineering to assist in that process. As you know, Sussex County has a site plan review process through the Planning and Zoning Commission. The property is zoned C1, which is the county's general commercial district. And that general commercial district is what I think most people would consider to be the broadest of all of Sussex County's commercial zoning classifications. That is actually now a closed district, and there's a lot more districts that more narrowly define what can be done. But the C1 general commercial district encompasses just about any use, including residential uses, business uses, commercial uses, professional uses, et cetera. As you would anticipate, being that broad of a commercial of a zoning district, the typical setbacks, when you look at them in the code, they seek to push a business back away from the roadway that it's adjacent to, and then have fairly minimal setbacks for the side and the rear of those properties, which allows for greater use of those commercial properties. Table 1 of the county code within the zoning code contains the table of height, area, and bulk requirements. And the main part of that table, when you look at it, states that the typical setback in the C1 district is a front yard setback of 60 feet from the right-of-way, and then 5 feet on the sides and 5 feet in the rear of each of those properties. However, what leads us here this evening is that there is a footnote on that table, and it's footnote number 3, if you were to look at it. And footnote 3 says that if the commercially zoned property is adjacent to a residentially zoned property, then that changes the setbacks for the side yards and the rear yards. So the setback in the side yard that would be 5 feet changes to 20 feet if there's a residential zoning district adjacent to the property. And in the rear, that setback moves from 5 feet to 30 feet. So there's a significant increase in those setbacks. And intuitively, certainly, that makes sense, as if there's a residential use of a property adjacent to a commercial use, in order to minimize any conflicts between those types of uses, a code would put a greater separation distance between those. The neighboring properties on either side of Mr. Garcia's properties are zoned C1 general commercial, the same as his property is. So the side yard setbacks for his property stay 5 feet all the way to the rear property line. However, to the rear of his property is a property that is zoned AR1, the Agricultural Residential District, which is probably the most common zoning district in all of Sussex County. As I mentioned a moment ago, because it's a residential zoning district to the rear of his property, the rear yard setback moves from 5 feet to 30 feet. And again, that larger setback makes sense if the property that's behind you, in this case, has a residential home on some sort of residential use that is occupying that property. However, as indicated in the materials that were filed with this variance application, that's not true, as when I described the uses along Route 9, the property immediately adjacent to this that starts on Asphalt Alley and then moves around behind this property is owned by Yellow Metal LLC and is used for Peninsula Paving. So it has a commercial, almost light industrial style use for the property. Of course, the first question you ask is, well, how does that happen? Because it's zoned agricultural residential. And Yellow Metal LLC went to County Council. They filed a conditional use application and sought to be able to use that property for the paving contracting business, for Peninsula Paving. And on March 26th of 2019, County Council adopted ordinance number 2641, allowing for this commercial type use for a commercial contracting paving business to be on the first 25 acres of that property when you move off of Route 9. Those first 25 acres where that use is located are right behind Mr. Garcia's property that is zoned C1. The ordinance that was adopted has conditions to it. Those conditions required buffering because there are other residentially zoned properties that exist to the rear of Yellow Meadows property. But they certainly recognize the C1 character of the area situated along Route 9. Tonight's application, as was introduced by Ms. Norwood, does seek a 25-foot rear yard variance, which would restore the typical 5-foot rear yard variance that exists for C1 zoned properties, as is again typical in the code, except if you're adjacent to a residentially a property with a residential district zoning applied to it. As the board's very familiar with, there are five factors that it considers in the granting of a variance. The first of those is the uniqueness of the property. And when you look at that description, a part of that description that's within the code talks about whether there are unique physical circumstances or conditions, including, then there's a list of items, which I'm going to jump over a few of them, but then flip to exceptional topographical or other physical conditions peculiar to the particular property, and that the exceptional practical difficulty is due to those conditions. And in this matter, there was a letter that was submitted along with the variance application, and one of the exhibits is on the screens around the room right now that you can see. But as Mr. Berry was retained to examine this property and try to set up this commercial use for Mr. Garcia, it became apparent that the topography of this site and the physical condition of the site created a great challenge for stormwater management. And the challenge is essentially that for purposes of stormwater management, this is, and this is my words, not Mr. Christenberry, but this is a landlocked parcel as far as outfall of water. There is not an outfall for any stormwater management. So under current modern codes, when you attempt to develop a property in a commercial manner, you have to provide for stormwater management. And the only way to do that, if you don't have a meaningful outfall, he describes the outfall that exists, but it is a very shallow swale along Route 9 that would be probably indistinguishable to most people as they drove along the roadway. Because there's not a meaningful outfall, the pond ends up being the size that you see on the screens around the room, and as you can see, consumes the large part at the beginning of this parcel. The parcel is a little irregularly shaped. It sort of angles back and when it gets beyond sort of where the pond is, but the entirety of that first section of the property is consumed by this stormwater management, again, due to this limitation it has with this stormwater. The second criteria is that the property cannot otherwise be developed and the variance is necessary to enable the reasonable use of the property. And certainly with the size of this area that's consumed because of this physical limitation of the property, that is the necessity of this variance application this evening. As you can see with the depth of the pond, in order to be able to meet all of the other requirements for the use of the property, again, you have to meet fire marshal regulations for turning radiuses and such in the parking areas. The county has parking requirements, et cetera. In order to meet all those and be able to fit them in the site plan it's not possible with the depth of that stormwater pond. The third criteria is that the situation was not created by the applicant. The applicant would argue that they did not create the stormwater challenges for this lot, that they are inherent to the property itself. Certainly they are not in control of the outfalls, or the lack of outfalls, more correctly, for this property. The fourth criteria is that it will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. Certainly this variance would not alter the character of the neighborhood. Mr. Garcia's business is, frankly, right in line with most of the other businesses that are located along Route 9 that I described at the outset. AP Kroll does similar things. Frankly, the paving company that's next to it and immediately behind it does very similar things. It's the nature of Route 9. I have referred to it in other public hearings as sort of the service corridor for much of Sussex County, and the same would be true of Mr. Garcia's business. A second indication, just beyond the actual physical businesses that are located there, that this will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood is, of course, that ordinance that I mentioned in conditional use for the yellow metal property or peninsula paving. Within that conditional use, the Planning and Zoning Commission found, and then the County Council agreed, that the nature of this area is both commercial and contracting uses on Route 9, and this would be, again, in that same vein of businesses. Finally, the other reason why I can speak confidently on whether or not this would alter the character of the neighborhood is that I did reach out to Yellow Metal LLC, and they provided a letter of support. Actually, I received earlier today, and if I may, I'll hand this to Ms. Norwood and ask her to pass it down. But it indicates that Yellow Metal LLC has no objection to the variance request, and in addition, it mentions that Peninsula Pave and Seal LLC, which trades as Peninsula Paving, which is the business operating on that parcel, also has no objection to the variance request. The last criteria is that the requested variance is the minimum variance that will afford the required relief. As the site plan shows, this is certainly the minimum variance that would afford the relief. You can see that the parking goes almost to the top of bank on the proposed stormwater pond, and there is simply just barely enough room for the various parking and drive aisles and such in the buildings as shown on the site plan. At this time, I'm going to ask Mr. Garcia and Mr. Christenberry if they would come to the microphone. Mr. Garcia, are you the owner of the property that was just described?
Yes.
And are you familiar with the application as I just presented it to the board?
Yes.
You heard the information I presented to the board this evening, and was everything that I said accurate and true and correct?
Yes.
Do you have anything you wanted to add?
No.
Okay. Chris and Barry?
Yes.
Are you familiar with the property and tonight's application?
I am.
And were you retained by Mr. Garcia to prepare a commercial site plan as shown on the screen for him?
Yes.
You heard the information presented to the board this evening. Was what stated to the board accurate?
I wouldn't have used the word landlocked. You admitted that was your word. But the drainage is very poor, and it's very it's a challenging site.
Other than my use of the word landlocked, to the extent that I...
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you. Do you have anything else you'd like to add for the board this evening?
I'd like to take a few seconds to show them these two photographs and then these two site plans. So, Jenny, are you the one in charge of what goes on the screen? Okay. Go to the very top where my cover letter is. I have two photographs that were taken from Mr. Garcia's rear property line. There they are. If you can zoom in and make that any bigger, that'd be great. So standing on Mr. Garcia's property, that's what we're looking at on the lands of Yellow Metal LLC. Scroll down a little bit more and you can see that, you know, there's literally fueling tanks right there. This is not a residential property. So the desire to protect residential properties with the increased setback obviously makes sense. Doesn't apply at all. Okay, go ahead and scroll down then to the second page in the site plan, which is gonna be C2 of the site plan. Not that one, stop right there. This is what that property behind us, Yellow Metal LLC, looked like 7 years ago in 2017. If you scroll to our cover sheet, which I think is the next page, there you go. That's what it looked like in the 2022 satellite image. So the reason for this relief is the protection for residential uses is moot by the land use on the adjacent property. All I have.
Thank you, Mr. Christenberry. For all these reasons, the applicant would request that the board grant the variance that was requested this evening. That concludes our presentation. Myself, Mr. Garcia, and Mr. Christenberry are certainly available to answer any questions that any members of the board or staff or council may have.
Mr. Hutt, does that conditional use have an expiration date on it, or is it it doesn't?
It does not, but I would say this. It is a conditional use, so Yellow Metal LLC has to comply with the conditions. So long as they comply with the conditions and they keep their business there, that use stays active. If Yellow Metal LLC left and the property just went vacant, a conditional use will lapse for lack of use. But so long as the paving company or its successor operates there within the terms of the, and conditions of that conditional use, it will last in perpetuity.
Can you repeat that part about what's the area that has to be that the conditional use is used for? So for the commercial use, and then you said it has to be AR1 to the rear of the property, I guess, for the yellow metal LLC.
You're asking about the C1 code that the change in setbacks?
Well, the conditions that they put on that. So it was, you know, the commercial use couldn't be to the rear of the property at the Yellow Metal LLC property, right?
But I think probably, and we encountered this before, the issue is it's just zoned AR1.
Right.
So whether it's used for a conditional use for light industrial type use, like peninsula paving, or whether it's used for a house with a pool, the setback that is applicable to Mr. Garcia is the same. So he's still subject to that 5-foot setback just because of the underlying zone of the neighboring property is AR1. If that neighboring property had been zoned commercial or light industrial, they would be afforded the 5-foot setback.
Right. Okay.
You may recall we had one of those come up recently with the 1x5 points. That was a similar same statute, same section of code, I should say.
So that property there, they wouldn't have to come back in front of the county council or anything to renew that conditional use?
No,
as long as they're sticking to what they're...
There's no temporal requirement on that conditional use.
Okay.
And Ms. Truitt, if you scroll down, I think it's to the yellow.
Near the bottom.
It's near the bottom. Actually, if you go to the next page, you can see Mr. Hastings, the line on the screen that runs parallel to Route 9 is the conditional use. So everything between that
Mr.
and
Garcia,
Route 9 is part of the conditional use.
That's Mr. Garcia, that's the limit of the Yellow Metals conditional
use. Okay, yeah, that's what I was looking for.
A question for you is, I'll just confirm, is there any residential use anywhere on this adjacent property, or is it only being used as a conditional use?
To my knowledge, it's only being used for the conditional use.
There was a house in the 2017 image. It's gone. Letter addresses.
Mr. Christenberry, if you can be at the microphone when we speak.
Letter addresses that. Mm-hmm. The letter of support from the owners of Yellow Metal. Mm-hmm. He actually states specifically.
Yes, I removed the residential home and swimming pool from the property. Okay. All right, so that answered that question. Legal question. So for the conditional use, goes to the commission, goes to county council, passes an ordinance. Now they're allowed to use a commercial use for this conditional use on this property. Could that be characterized as some way comparable or similar to a change of zone? Because they're now allowed to use something that otherwise would not be allowed there?
I'll answer that one. So a change of zone would allow for all, if say, now C1 zone, as Mr. Hutt explained, is a closed district. We can't zone properties C1 anymore. But if we were to zone in one of the current commercial zones, and the applicant were to seek a change of zone for that, he would be, it wouldn't apply to this property, but let's say the neighboring property, for instance, they would be afforded all of the uses that are allowed under that zone, and they would not be subject to conditions. They have to meet site plan approval, of course, but they wouldn't be having conditions. When one gets a conditional use, they are only allowed that specific use that they're applying for, and the county can put conditions on it. In some cases, they do. In some cases, they're very specific. So in this case, the neighbor didn't want to, you know, why he did or did not want to go through it, I don't know, but he sought a conditional use for his very specific use, and that's what was granted to him.
But the reason I'm asking is because In my mind, this isn't just a property zoned AR1. This is a property zoned AR1 with a conditional use. And so in my mind, for zoning purposes, it's a little different than a property that's just zoned AR1. That's kind of how I'm seeing it.
Yeah, but unfortunately, our table in the code doesn't make that distinguishing characteristic, because you may have a conditional use that may not be as, I mean, this is a pretty intensive use for an AR1. We may have others that are not as intensive a use. But the table that Mr. Hutt was referring to earlier doesn't make that distinguishing characteristic.
Okay.
If that was sold, would that condition leave with the sale of the property?
No, it's not subject to the owner. It's subject to the property. So whenever those conditions are failed to be met, whatever they may be, and I don't have them off the chapter and verse off the top of my head, but or if it was ceased to be used for a period of time, then that would lapse and it would no longer be allowed.
I do have a couple questions. Currently, is that pretty much just how it is on the top on your site plans here? Pretty much empty.
Which property? The yellow metal property or Mr. Garcia's?
Yours.
Mr. Garcia's property.
In question.
At the front of the property, there are some.
He's had some storage out.
Some storage.
Some storage minor. Is that going to be removed when this is all put in?
The whole site would be redeveloped, and okay. any storage would be within probably that security fence.
All right. So basically, when you start, if you were to start construction on this, you'd be working with basically a blank slate. You would be starting from scratch.
Yeah, we'll be doing Del Dot.
Okay.
We're going to need a new Del Dot entrance, because the one that's out there now is basically a faster residential entrance. We'll have to do stormwater management.
Fire marshal.
We got to put in a septic permit because we're not in a county sewer district. Artesians, force means too difficult to get to. Yeah, it will be developed pretty much from scratch.
Okay. So my question would be is, you know, you had referenced not being created by the applicant, and I understand the need for the drainage is not created by you. That situation behind you is not created by you, but one thing that is created by the applicant is the size of the buildings. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that? And why they are the size they are, if they could be smaller, to help with that barrier?
My personal feeling, if the property behind us was residential, I'd have a very difficult, it was in a residential use and wasn't pretty industrial from the looks of it, I'd have a much more difficult time thinking that this variance was reasonable. And I would encourage my client to perhaps find another piece of property or something like that if that was the case. I do believe for his business, he does need the amount of storage that we indicate on the plan. And the borderline industrial use behind us, that I can tell you from my experience why I believe the neighbor wouldn't have applied for the zoning, because you asked that question. The reason why is those zonings are controversial, unnecessarily so, because they would ask for C3 general commercial, which has quite a list of permitted uses. They knew exactly what they wanted to do. So in order to not risk being denied altogether, they said, we know exactly what we want to do. That's the reason the conditional use exists. I believe the reason that the increase in the setback exists is to protect residential people. That home from the 27 satellite, which was still there, again, this would be a much more difficult ask. But it's essentially borderline industrial.
And I think one other point to make, Mr. Williamson, is that the nature of Mr. Garcia doesn't lend itself, because one other solution, so as to speak, would be to have multiple stories to a building. You can certainly, you know, go up to 42 feet in Sussex County, but that's not the nature of this business. And frankly, when you look along Route 9, that's not the nature of any of the construction flex space warehousing that's along there, because that two stories doesn't do, the second story is not usable based upon on what they do. So I think that's another reason why you see the layout that you see, and then the size of the various buildings and how they have to be situated on the site.
If from where this back home is going to be situated, and two, in your second picture, that building is still standing, that white building with in the back. How far is that from Just let's say the property line.
It's not particularly far. I think their site plan would probably show it. And that is used, that's like basically, I think it was a barn when it was residential, and now it's a commercial storage building for the paving company. So I don't know if they have a dimension on there or not. See, our site plan the dimension.
Well, we know there's a 50-foot, right, we know there's a 50-foot.
It looks to be just over 50 foot, because there's a 50-foot.
To the property line?
Buffer. From their building to the property line, it looks to be approximately 50 feet.
Thank you.
But I don't have that on a survey that we prepared, but it looks to be just over 50 feet.
Thank you. One question, actually. Buffer behind there, is that woods behind there, or
you can see
brush?
From the photographs that I provided, The forested buffer that they put on their CU is pretty thick everywhere because it was existing forest. There wasn't forest between us and them. And so it's kind of thin, to be honest. And from our perspective, their buffer being thin is not a problem at all. We want our setback to be thin. You know, it's commercial against commercial. Our perspective on that, or my perspective as an engineer on that.
Thank you.
Go to the other photograph, if you could. Yeah, right there. I mean, that's me standing pretty much right at the property line, looking towards them. It wasn't particularly buffered, but again, we don't take issue with that. And it looks like they do have a healthy buffer around where they butt up to residential properties on either side. And I didn't see anything there where that was cleared.
From the site map, is that sort of where that rear building is that like a low area? What is that?
Go down to,
it almost looks like a,
make sure we're talking about the same area. Keep going to,
yeah, right there. No, well,
you want to see the 2022?
Well, no, where that back building is, where we're talking about, sort of that oval. Yeah,
yeah. So when I walked out there, I was surprised to see what I think some folks educated me was called a skeeter pond out there. I contacted the conservation district and said, was this a stormwater management facility that was, you know, put in when something was built out there? It was not. There was no permit ever issued. It's just a wet hole in the ground that was dug at some point by someone, and it's not a stormwater management facility. So I contacted Yellow Metal before I even contemplated a setback variance and said, you know, you realize your hole kind of crosses the property line. Now, they didn't really know when it was built. They didn't care if we filled anything that was on our property line. Or over the property, because that little pond is bisected by the property line. So they weren't opposed. I spoke to their engineer, his name is Cliff Mumford. He's at Davis Bumford. I said, do you have any issue with us filling what's on our side? He said, no, they're not really using it. So that was a topic that was discussed with the neighbors before we even contemplated the setback easement.
Yeah, and with your new plan, I mean, that's not going to be used for any kind of drainage or anything anyway, right? Everything's going to go to the front barn.
We would be filling right from our property line and probably have a retaining wall near the rear of the buildings to get them elevated enough to drain to our pond, which is going to the relatively shallow Del Dot ditch. That's part of the, there's going to be a lot more earthwork on this site than typically you get on a 3-acre commercial site. Part of the challenge in terms of getting everything to work on the property, but no records. That wasn't an engineered stormwater structure. I think if you go back far enough, these lands may have been under common ownership, and this was subdivided off at some point. But I did not do a title search, so I wasn't. Then somebody was either owned both sides or just decided they liked the hole bigger than.
Looking at your site plan here, the front of this property, it looks to me like a significant percentage of this property is going to be this wet pond. Do you know about how much of a percentage of the buildable area that thing is taking up?
I calculate that. I think of the, so the flood elevation, it's about 13, 14% of the property. If you do include the maintenance easement, it's closer to 20%, but the maintenance access, you can park in it, so, and you can have a driveway in it.
And this whole thing is in the building envelope, so if we took out the building envelope, it's an even higher percentage. Is that right?
Yes, yes. If we took out the setbacks on the front and rear and all that, it would certainly be a lot more of a buildable area.
Looking at the northwest corner of the property, is I see a box there. Is that the septic? That green box there?
Correct.
All right. So I'm guessing that if the building were to be, the rear building, I should say, was to be reconfigured such that it would be longer and perhaps not protrude as close to the rear yard property line, it would encroach onto that that septic area.
We kept the same square footage.
And tried to make it.
There's no
longer and skinnier like the ones on the side. You wouldn't be able to do it.
No, there's not a way to make that fit there without affecting the business operations Mr. Garcia hopes to accomplish here.
And go back to the wet pond. My recollection is Mr. Hutt had stated that the neighboring property, which has an auto repair business, gets quite wet.
Tire business, I think.
Yeah, tire business gets quite wet in the front. Does this property also get pretty wet in the front?
Well, I don't think it's as low. Okay. I don't think it's as low as the tire business. So I've been out there during two rainstorm events. Actually, there are some low areas in the back. But the swale drains very slowly. It's very flat. Not too unusual.
Is it a clay soil or sandy there?
It's a mix. I was surprised that there wasn't more clay. So it actually wasn't heavy clay.
I mean, I'm familiar with that tire business, and it is underwater quite a bit.
Yeah, DelDOT mentioned that to me when I met with DelDOT in the Conservation District for a video conference about 2 months ago, and they mentioned that there were serious problems there. So,
I'm guessing the wet pond also takes into consideration you're going to be removing a lot of trees from the site. Is that right?
Of course, yes. Okay. We look at pre-developed conditions. This is just standard Delaware regulations. Pre-developed conditions generates X amount of peak discharge of water into that DelDOT ditch. As we develop the site, obviously the peak discharge, when you clear some trees and put up rooftop and blacktop, goes up tremendously. So the volume of the pond is based on throttling that discharge back down to those pre-development peak discharge rates.
Are there vehicles that are gonna go in these buildings that are large, that kind of necessitate this larger building?
I think Mr. Garcia has 30-foot long trucks that have a boom to deliver concrete to construction sites. You don't have any larger than that?
No.
Yeah, 30-foot trucks.
30-foot trucks, if anybody is coming to
Sir, you have to come up.
Repeat exactly what you said.
I'm saying that is just for the pump trucks. If anybody is familiar with that, that's what we use them for our construction.
And those are the largest trucks you have?
Yeah, that's the largest trucks we have.
All right, I have no further questions. Thank you.
Does that conclude your presentation, Mr. Hunt?
It does, thank you.
Thank you. Is anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this case? Is anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to this case? Anything else from the board? At this time, I'll close the public hearing for case 12966 for Mr. Garcia and entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 12966 for Mr. Garcia for the requested variance pending a final written decision based upon the record made during the public hearing. The property does have very unique physical conditions. Due to such physical circumstances or conditions, there's no possibility the property can be developed in strict conformity. The exceptional practical difficulty has not been created by the applicant. Variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, and the variance represents the minimum variance necessary to afford relief.
Second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Williamson.
Voting nay.
Dr. Carson.
Aye for the reasons stated.
Mr. Werfel?
Aye for the reasons stated.
Mr. Hastings?
Aye.
And aye too. So with a vote of 4-1, sir, your case is approved.